Our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, is always on with us for Lawyer Up every single Friday morning. She takes three cases apart and gives us her opinions on them. She's joining us now on the phone. Lisa, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well and great to talk to you. First, let's start with a case we've talked about a couple of times. It's in Jensen Beach, Florida. Treasure Coast, Florida teenagers they go to the school called Treasure Coast, and they were all on the way to the prom. They had rented a party bus, basically. About 40-some-odd kids had rented a party bus. They got on there. By the time they got to the prom, they searched the bus and found a bottle of alcohol on the bus. So each one of them had to take a breathalyzer test before they went into the prom. Well, none of them had had anything to drink. All of them were acquitted, exonerated of any alcohol by taking the breathalyzer test, but none of them were allowed in until all of them had taken the test, so they all got shut out of the prom. It ended before everything was done. Now they're suing. They're going after the apparently the party bus company and the school district. Lisa, what chance do they have here?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of litigation, and it's really increasing, about the rights of high school students, the due process rights of high school students. And all that we can really tell, because this exact question hasn't really been heard before the courts, so what we can really look at is what's been the history. What has the Supreme Court said about this? And typically due process involves, you know, you have to be looking at a deprivation of life, liberty, or property. And so the courts tend to look at what the student is being deprived of and how serious it is. And basically they've come down with major punishments like suspensions are considered a property interest, and so those are protected by due process. But the courts have consistently said that lesser punishments or lesser infringement of rights are not protected by due process. So my guess is that because, you know, they did have alcohol on the party bus, I think there was a reasonable expectation that the school would take some kind of action about that. So I think the school is going to prevail here. The only case that even bears any resemblance to this that I could find, there was a federal case. It did not go to the Supreme Court, but it involved a male student, a gay male student, who wanted to take his boyfriend to a school dance. And in that particular situation, a federal court held that he did have an unequal treatment situation, but it was based on the state where it happened had in place a protection that included, you know, a sort of a gay rights protection that many states do not have. So I think the school is going to prevail here.
But Lisa, your prom only comes once in your life, and they didn't have alcohol on the bus. Somebody had left it on there before they got on. Lisa.
So they say. But
Lisa.
You know what's interesting? The one thing has always bugged me about this story. I mean, I hate that the kids didn't get to their prom. Yeah. I'm glad they weren't, you know, drinking that night, because they all signed the pledge. But who drank the champagne? Did the limo driver not clean up the bus the last time, or did a kid get on with a date, slam it back, and say, see you guys at the after party?
Well, maybe. Maybe that's what happened. But none of these kids were to blame. And I just feel for these kids. As a man who missed his senior prom because he had to work barbecues.
No way. Really?
Yeah, I didn't go. I had to work barbecue.
If I was one of the parents who had to shell out money for a lawyer, I'd be like, look, your life isn't ruined.
Thank you, Biggie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But one of the biggest nights of your life is ruined.
But I'm not shelling out money out of my pocket.
And they had a pre-prom party. They didn't even care about the prom.
Well, they cared. They got there late.
They got there 3 hours late.
They
so
partied,
many students,
they drank, they sexed, and they got to the prom late. The bottle was found.
Those kids
busted.
Still had sex that night.
And these kids aren't paying. Their parents aren't paying lawyers for this. I think this is one of those cases where a civil liberties group has taken up this cause, because it's one of the hot ACLU topics right now is the rights and due process rights of high school students.
Well, that makes me more mad.
Exactly.
With all the civil liberties being violated, we're worried about high school students?
Exactly.
Who cares? Violate them.
It's time to have a seat, Kelly.
But wait.
No, Lisa has spoken.
No,
all right.
No, and no.
Okay.
You've been lawyered.
Story number two. This is a trial that is going on. Golly, I'm not even sure where this is happening, but it involves a defendant, Jeremy Carlin. He's a defense attorney who is defending his defendant who's on trial for murder. And he is saying that they need a mistrial in this case because during some video testimony, the judge fell asleep. You tell us, Lisa, if a judge falls asleep during a trial, during long video testimony, is that grounds for a mistrial?
I'm sorry.
Lisa. Lisa.
What were you saying? What was that question? No, it's terrible. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it is. Actually, I read an article that surveyed 10 cases where judges had fallen asleep and the defendant had either appealed or moved for a mistrial, and there was a new trial granted in half of those. And this was a national survey about judicial misconduct. So I think the chances are pretty good that because it's not, apparently it was not the first time it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I read, I wasn't clear if it was multiple times during this case or just multiple times that this judge nods off. But it's considered, if a judge does this repeatedly, it's considered judicial misconduct in most jurisdictions. And it's important for the judge to hear the testimony and to hear the lawyer's objections and that sort of thing. And when he was asleep, there was some pretty important video testimony that was being played, witness video testimony, and there was a motion that the defense attorney was trying to get the judge's attention about the video, and he couldn't get it, and the judge was non-responsive, and they actually had to go, when they turned the lights back on, they actually had to go shake the guy. He was sound asleep.
But he said he viewed the video in chambers and is all caught up and up to speed now.
Yeah, so, that might help prevent mm-hmm. a new trial, if that's true. But, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'd say so. Has any judge ever fallen asleep on you?
No, I have not had a judge fall asleep, but I've had jurors fall asleep. That's actually pretty common.
Yeah.
No,
uh-huh.
Especially in long trials. And I was in a medical malpractice trial a few years ago, and there was one juror who he sat on the back row, and just as soon as the whole thing started, he would just tilt his head back, and his mouth would fall open, and he would like heavy, snoring, drooling sleep.
That
was terrible.
Whose duty is it, Lisa, to wake them up?
Well, the judge every once in a while would tell, it just became sort of a joke, and he was an older guy, and I think the judge sort of cut him some slack, but every once in a while, the judge would say to the juror next to him, hey, will you wake him up,
Hit juror number six.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. And the last story in Lawyer Up today comes from Round Rock, Texas, a man named Jacob Lavoro. He's 19, and he could be sentenced to, under the law, apparently life in prison because of marijuana-laced brownies. Apparently, the way the law works, at least in Texas, is it's the weight of everything, including the marijuana and the brownies, meaning that he had a ton when you weigh it, but actually it's mostly brownie mix, not all marijuana. And now at age 19, even though he's got a clean record, literally he could go to jail forever. I'm sure he won't. Lisa, this doesn't seem fair to me. What do you think?
Well, I don't feel that sorry for the kid because this isn't just a case of some guy making some pot brownies for just his own recreational use,
mm-hmm.
which is, that tends to be the big distinction that we make in the law, is if somebody just has a little bit of marijuana or some controlled substance like that, and it's often a misdemeanor. If it's just a tiny amount and it's for personal use. But this guy, actually, he was found with, he had scales, he had little baggies, and he had a bunch of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there was other indication there that he was trying to distribute. But what really got him with the manufacturing with intent to distribute was the weight, because the weight of the brownies really pushed it up there. And,
yep.
But he did, and it was because it was hash oil, not just pot. So, and hash oil is a higher level control substance. But
yeah, we know.
I think the kid was. This wasn't just some poor little guy that was making some brownies for his personal use. I mean, I think this guy was distributing. And so I think, but here's the crazy thing: because he was a first time offender, and because it is this whole weight of the brownie thing, the prosecutor is already making a bunch of noise about backing off and entering a plea deal, and the dad's screaming that it needs to be dropped to a misdemeanor. So this kid isn't going to do any serious time.
The father says, and I'm quoting now, "I'm a Vietnam veteran. This is damn wrong." And of course, his son is selling pot, apparently,
Right.
One doesn't necessarily mean the other's
no,
not true.
No, it doesn't really equate there.
You know, and this I can't answer this question, Lisa. I don't know if you can legally, but what makes the best pot brownies, turtle or triple shrimp? Because I like the turtle, I think,
know.
Better.
You can't answer that.
Right. I can't answer that. I do not know.
I didn't think so.
What I love about this dad is I love when people are this, like, hey, I'm I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm American. You know, I'm a conservative, whatever, except when it's my kid, right?
Yeah, right, like, yeah. He's like, I'm a Vietnam veteran. This is damn wrong. That was his exact quote. I'm conservative. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and this is damn wrong. I didn't know the kid had all the rolling papers and the scales and all that stuff going along with it. Okay. Well, what do you think is a fair punishment for him? A year in prison?
Well, you know, I mean, I think if this kid is distributing, he should get the same punishment everybody else gets.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think, you know, where you come down on our current sort of sentencing structure for drug infractions is sort of neither here nor there. I just think he needs to be treated the same. I don't think he should get all the special treatment just because there was this brownie issue. I mean, I think the kid was distributing.
There it is. Lisa Lanier, she's our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show, with good reason. She knows her stuff. If you need her, she's at Lanier.